Okay, maybe for the beginning, your organization is a non-profit grassroots coalition. Can you describe your tactics and agenda in the field of single-payer health care movements?
Absolutely. Healthcare Now was founded about 5 years ago to support national legislation for single-payer healthcare, which would provide universal, high-quality care for everyone in the United States. We have done extensive work on lobbying for this legislation, educating the public about this solution to our healthcare crisis, as well as forming chapters and coalitions of advocates and activists around the country who support single-payer national health care. We've also used direct action demonstrations at the for-profit private health insurance and pharmaceutical companies, as well as civil disobedience at times to raise awareness about this solution.
Okay. How much support do you have in, let's say, in civil society? Do you have any problems maybe to express your voice and beliefs, let's say, in mass media?
Yes, there's an interesting dynamic in the United States where the solution, a single-payer national healthcare system, also called Medicare for All, it is the most popular program. When you go to polls from the public and polling from physicians and nurses, it always comes up as number one because it truly is a universal system to provide care to everyone at less cost. However, the media and many politicians have made it very challenging for us to have our position represented in the national discussion on reform over the past year and a half, mainly because we do propose eliminating the private health insurance companies, which have a great deal of influence through all of the money that they use to lobby Congress, and also they're very all of the money that goes into the advertising they do with media also gives them influence there. So we've had a very challenging time having a fair discussion, including single-payer national health care, over the past year and a half.
Okay. You already mentioned politicians, but you also have support of some prominent politicians, let's say John Conyers. Am I right? How much will to work are you facing in political establishment?
In the U.S. House of Representatives, we have about 90 co-sponsors on our legislation. In the Senate, it's much fewer. We would have about 5 senators who sign on to our legislation. However, we feel that this was a very good year to educate them about exactly what single-payer national health care is. So moving out of this period, even though we did not get it, I think it will be easier to have discussions with them about why it's the correct position to support on health care reform. But we're very disappointed in the legislation that came out and was recently signed by the president.
The new healthcare reform was passed into law, but there are still different views on this issue. Even some Democrats who supposedly voted for a new bill, instead they are voted for a no. Why is so much disagreements in American society about this topic?
I think it's important to understand that, you know, in the United States, we have such a mixture of healthcare programs that we really could have had an excellent discussion on, you know, what would be a single-payer system, what would be socialized healthcare, and what would be the for-profit market-based approach to care, because we have examples of all of that in our healthcare system right now. But many people feel that it's interesting. The rhetoric is so confusing right now. The Republicans are saying that what we have is a government takeover of healthcare, and that is not true. And the Democrats are saying that the health reform is on par with the passage of Medicare and Social Security are two major entitlement programs in this country, and that is also not true. A smaller percentage of the, really it was very few members of Congress that said this health care reform didn't go far enough. We feel similarly that the choice that the president had was to either look to the public programs that work or look at market-based solutions. And this legislation really entrenches the market-based for-profit system in our health care, as opposed to looking to systems like Medicare, which are publicly funded and much better at providing real care to people because of the less administration, profits, advertising, all of these things that consume so much of our resources. So I think it's an incredibly charged issue politically, but unfortunately we haven't had a very good discussion on the policy.
So it seems that key for understanding, let's say from European point of view, are different approaches to understanding the role of federal government and its authorization.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, could you repeat that question for me?
It seems that the key for understanding, let's say, the main problem in this issue, let's say from European point of view, are different approaches to understanding the role of federal government and its authorization. How far can federal government go in, let's say, in providing medical care for all citizens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that among the public, there really is majority support for a publicly funded system. So there is disagreement, though, between people who think the government shouldn't be involved at all in our healthcare, but often they're very confused and not knowledgeable about how healthcare is really delivered in our country. Again, when you look to polls, the majority of people here want the government to be involved in delivering high-quality healthcare to everyone, even if they have to pay more taxes or, you know, it's been problematic because the corporations have controlled the process so that their interests are benefited before the American people. I think that's the major thing to take away, that there really was so much corporate involvement with the insurance companies, the drug companies, and the hospitals that the American people didn't get a fair chance to be heard about what they really need.
It's interesting that you have citation of Martin Luther King on your website. His words that of all the forms of inequality, injustice in healthcare is the most shocking and inhuman. These words are quite sharp.
Yes, actually, the founder of Healthcare Now worked with Dr. King in the 60s when he was running the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and felt very close to his principles on healthcare, and we agree with that statement. That inequality in our system is unjust and it has to end. Every person in this country, immigrant or not, deserves access to high-quality care without financial barriers.
The campaign for new reform was and still is full of extremely slogans, especially from the opponent side. There was a lot of comparisons even with national socialism and communism. How would you comment, let's say, the behavement of the opponent side, the opponents of the new reform?
I think it's really based in politics and not policy. I mean, there's no evidence that this reform is anywhere close to socialized healthcare. So it shows the lack of understanding around what really is being discussed, and I think it's an example of how uneducated people are about both politics and policy in this country, particularly on the right, where they make these just completely incorrect claims.
What do you think? Is it coincidence that reform was adopted in the time of economic depression? Let's say President Roosevelt also tried to force some kind of national health insurance program in the time of Great Depression.
Correct. When Roosevelt was pushing to pass Social Security, there were also efforts to include national health insurance, which failed. And then later on, Truman tried to do the same thing. Of course, there was discussion, you know, every decade after that about providing national health care to the people in this country. And again, even though reform has passed, we still fall very short from reaching a universal system in the United States. So it's been a long struggle. Yes.
Yes. Maybe which groups of population will benefit with new reform and which groups will take costs?
That's a good question. There will be an expansion over the next, in 4 years, there will be an expansion of the Medicaid program, which serves low-income people. They estimate that about 16 million more low-income people will be eligible for that program. And for those people, it will be a really important thing that will give them access to some care, though the program is low quality. In addition, there's increased funding for community health clinics, which will help people access care as well. I think that the most challenging part of the reform is the concept of mandating people who aren't eligible for public programs, literally forcing them to purchase a private insurance plan if they're uninsured and not eligible for Medicaid or Medicare. And there's very few regulations on the private insurance plans. They can be quite expensive. There will be some taxpayer subsidies to make them more affordable, but I question if that's even possible, because the insurance companies are able to charge as much as they want in copays or extra fees that really send many people into bankruptcy because of the medical debt that they accrue if they get sick. So private insurance, I always say, is like, it's like an umbrella that melts in the rain. It's not there when you need it. So mandating people to buy these products is really unprecedented in our country, and I think of terrible solution to the healthcare crisis.
Are you going to continue the fight for more rightful healthcare system in the United States? I mean, even President Obama said that this legislation will not fix everything, but it is a move in the right direction. You are probably not very satisfied with this adopted reform.
We are going to continue fighting for the healthcare that the people in this country need, and we're not stopping until we get it. We see a single-payer national health insurance program as a real step in the right direction, the minimum step for guaranteeing real universal health care and improving the way health care is accessed and delivered in this country. We are certainly not going away. We feel stronger than we've ever been, and we look forward to continuing to fight.
How do you look on this adopted reform, as a successful thing or just a, let's say, a failed opportunity?
The current reform that just passed?
Yes.
I think it was a really missed, I think it absolutely was a missed opportunity. The expansion of the private insurance industry, I mean, they are the problem with our healthcare system, and expanding it is not the solution. So unfortunately, it will take some years before the failure of the program is apparent and completely clear. While a few people will be helped, the problem is not going away. Our system is still quite broken and quite unequal, and at some point it will really be unsustainable, because the cost of care for our country is going to continue to increase. So we anticipate that it really will not be able to continue as it is set up, and we will be there with a solution.
Okay, the last question, Katie. United States are a kind of trendsetter in global world. Do you think that even not such a perfect reform can be a signal for the rest of the world to become more sensitive on social topics?
I think it was an important conversation for the people of this country to have. I think more people are educated on how healthcare works in the United States, and that's a positive thing, and I hope that that improves future discussions on social programs, but I really do think we have a lot of work to do.
Okay, Katie, I must apologize for my not so perfect English. I must say that this is not my first language, so excuse me once more. Really, thank you for your time. Have a nice time in the future and a lot of success with further work.
Thank you, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. Your English is great.
Okay. Okay.
Conducted the interview very well. All right. Take good care.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.